Hi, it's Hannah Berner.
And Des Bishop.
Thanks for calling the Berner phone.
If you leave a message after the tone,
we may have to make it into a podcast.
What's up, my little dialers?
Hello.
I'm excited for the topic today.
What is the topic today, Hannah?
It's tell us a weird, random skill that is not particularly useful, but special.
Yes, your special, useless skill. And we got a lot of them.
Because I do have to say, obviously a lot of people get kudos like Caitlin Clark and, you know, LeBron James and Patrick Mahomes for being extremely talented at sports. But talents come in all shapes and sizes, and there's champions in the places that you least expect them. There's greatness everywhere.
Yes. And what would you say is your useless skill?
I actually didn't think
Yeah,
about
I didn't
it.
Think of one either. That's why I asked you first.
You got me.
No, my useless skill is I can remember everybody's phone number before 1996. And that I only recently learned your phone number because I don't have a CVS card. And eventually it just kind of stuck from using your number. Because my mom died, so I had to stop using my mother's CVS card.
I do have kind of a unique useless skill where I have like a little muscle on my lip that I could like move.
Wow. You can move your lip.
I can move like one
that
little
one
part
specific
of my lip.
Part of your lip. Well, that's good.
It's very cool.
Looks like a twitch.
It looks like
you could freak somebody out.
You could freak someone out. My brother and my dad could always wiggle their ears.
Yeah.
And I couldn't. And they would make fun of me. They'd be like, try to wiggle your ears. And I would like make all these faces and they would laugh at me. And I'm like, no one fucking cares that you could wiggle your ears. You're not better than me.
Yeah. I used to be able to fart on demand. I kind of lost that skill, but I was always a good farter in school.
I wonder if that's a thing.
Honestly, I think it's because I don't eat as much bread as I used to, honestly.
You know, I used
dietary
to...
Dietary changes.
I used to not have a gag reflex, and then I got married.
Whoa. Hannah, drop it. I mean, I guess that's a good one for me. I guess that makes me look more impressive than I am, I guess.
But you could take that in many ways, either because you're so big, I just can't handle it, or because I'm just disgusted by men now. I do have to say, though, there are some things that change as you get older, like, you know, you become allergic to things, or... You know, you lose certain things. Or you gain things.
You gain certain skills.
I can, like, cross my eyes pretty well. Like, I could cross them and just move one, like...
It came in. I don't know if it's one of the ones that we picked. But for the record, crossing your eyes does not do anything bad to your eyes.
Well, yeah, everyone said, stop, your face is going to stay like that.
Yeah, and that was one of the many, like, well, they used wives to call
tales.
Them old wives' tales, which yeah. I don't even know if that's...
It's the second one, we crossing one eye?
Yeah.
Going to play it?
Yeah, play it. Why not? Since we're talking about it.
Hi, Des. Hi, Hannah. Love you both and the pod. One of my random useless talents, I would say, is crossing one eye, and I can switch it back and forth between each eye, one at a time. I can do them both. And I was so proud of this that in high school, one of my friends who was in yearbook asked if I knew anyone who had a secret talent, and I was like, hello, me. You didn't know I can cross one eye. And I showed her in class and she laughed at me. But I'm still proud of it to this day. So I'm proud to share it with you guys.
And she's not on her own because you, without even knowing that was a prompt, that's also one of yours.
She's like, I've been waiting my whole life for this moment.
Yeah, she has that. She has that.
It's
common
my time
with you.
To shine. But yeah, parents hate it if you do it. They're like, your face. I'm like, show me one person whose face stayed that way.
Well, I Googled it actually. And the only thing that can happen from crossing your eyes is you can get muscle fatigue in your eyes, but that fades.
Yeah. Well, it definitely like kind of hurts when you do it.
That's it. That's all it is, but that fades. It has no long-lasting effect.
You probably strengthen the muscle.
I keep forgetting, because we keep mentioning it when stuff like this comes up, that we want to do an app about old wives' tales that aren't true,
yes.
And we keep forgetting.
You got to write it down in the list.
I know. It always comes up when we're recording.
I also can raise one eyebrow, but I can't raise the other one.
Oh, right.
Can you raise one like The Rock?
I don't think I can, but I can flare my nose on demand. You know, yeah, you can do it too, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can't raise one eyebrow.
I don't think I can, no. I don't think I've never had to express that much doubt in a situation.
I highly doubt that. I just remember everyone's like, figure out that The Rock does it, and I'm like, I literally can do that. I'm 5 years old.
I mean, I guess I could beatbox.
Yeah, that's fucking cool.
I was one of the early Queens white kids that could beatbox in the early 1980s, you know? So I could beatbox. Hannah's dancing as if I'm beatboxing right now, but I'm not going to beatbox. My beatboxing.
He doesn't beatbox if you ask him to beatbox. That's his special skill. He only beatboxes when he feels energy.
You got to be feeling it. Well, no, here's the thing. Here's the problem. I was obsessed with beatboxing in the 80s. And then I moved to Ireland where I think I was the only beatboxer in Ireland from 1990 until 1990.
You were the coolest person in Ireland.
Well, yeah, because everybody, all the Irish guys were like, do the beat, go on, do the beat. And, but the problem was that I had no competition, so I never had to develop my skills any further. So whatever my beatboxing skills were in 1990, they kind of remained that way.
Oh, so you think people are going to judge you that they're not like updated beatboxing?
I know that my beatbox is 90s standard. The beatbox game has evolved so much since the time
regardless.
Go on these YouTube, these YouTube beatboxers are like incredible. I know, even without loop pedals.
Can you do the drop?
No, that's a skill that came up, no.
I went to Beacon High School, which... there's a lot of like random talented kids that came out of it. And one of the kids, I was looking at a list of like famous TikTokers and I'm like, wait, that kid went to Beacon with me. I'm like, what's he famous for? And he's one of these like huge beatboxers.
Insane beatboxers.
And they have like a hype house, like content beatboxing house that like he has like 20 million followers for yeah. And he does, yeah, like he'll do like movie themes and like
oh, yeah, no,
just
insane.
Insane stuff.
Yeah, that's just
stuff. But I
never got to that level, man.
I think you're great.
I was obsessed with Razelle, who used to play with the Roots, and that was kind of the end of my beatbox.
You beatboxed it. Is that how you say it?
I beatboxed it.
You beatboxed it to Lois, and she loved it. She was
kids,
dancing.
The kids of a certain age love beatboxing.
They love 90s
beatboxing. Kids of a certain
beatboxing.
Age are like, how is that music coming out of his face?
That's how I am when someone beatboxes. I'm like, that's freaking awesome. What skill do you have to beatbox? Like, do you think I could
honestly,
beatbox?
Honestly, the skill you have to beatbox is extreme insecurity as a child, where you will obsessively try to get good at stuff to hide from your own feelings of inadequacy. That's the skill that you need. If you have a good childhood, you will not be a good beatboxer.
Mic drop.
As my father always said, because my father was a good pool player, if somebody said, oh, you're good at pool, he says, sign of a misspent youth. There you go.
But like, do you have to have particular like tongue skill set?
Nah, man. You just have to be into hip hop and you just have to know how to tighten and loosen your lips and make other noises with your tongue and your breath. You know, have a good enough breathing technique where you can kind of hum and make these noises at the same time. So, but this is not a beatboxing tutorial. I can't believe we spent this much time on it.
I'm pretty good at fake orgasming. I'm not going to do it on the pod,
historically,
but I'm pretty good.
Historically.
At least, honestly, I don't think anyone needs to be that good. Like, guys aren't really, like, judging your performance. Unless if you're, like, over the top too much or completely quiet, just, like, make a little sound and they're like, yes.
And speaking of fake orgasms, you took your family to Katz's Deli and sat there the whole time not knowing that the reason why Katz's Deli got famous originally was because it's the famous fake orgasm scene from When Harry Met Sally.
I did not. That's such a dumb New Yorker that I didn't know what restaurant that was at.
I'll have what she's having. So anyway, will we get into some prompts?
My useless talent is that I have the world's longest toes and they have like a knuckle, like a finger. So like their finger toes, and I can pick things up with them. And when I'm mad at people, which I don't do this to like strangers because that would be weird and they'd probably not talk to me anymore. But like when I'm mad at like my husband, I can like pinch him with my finger toes like really hard. So that's my useless secret talent. I also love Giggly Squad and saw you guys were going on tour, but you're not coming to Kansas City and I would be really sad to not see you.
Yes, we just dropped the Giggly Squad tour for the fall called Club Giggly. It's going to be lit. We are going to be adding more shows. So if you don't see your state, keep an eye out.
And
maybe coming.
You're not exactly saying where, because you accidentally in Detroit said, I'll be back with Giggly Squad. And then Detroit wasn't on the list. So you're not saying specifically that Kansas, you're not promising
Look,
Kansas City.
I'm pushing on my end for all these places, and we just have to see if the venues are available.
Okay, so two very important things about this prompt. One, a lot of people have a special skill of picking things up with their feet.
I wonder if it's like a double jointed thing or like, cause.
Well, she has long toes, she said.
Yeah, but it's more than just long toes. Like she has another joint to like bend it and twist it. Also, I was thinking about if she could pinch you, like imagine in bed, like, you know how like you touch toes in bed and you're like, She could literally like hold your foot with her toes, like hold hands.
I think she could. No, we always make OnlyFans jokes, but like I guarantee people have foot fetishes. I can't imagine the foot fetishes they have for feet that have hand skills.
Well, Michael Blaustein's like obsessed with like getting jerked off with feet.
Yeah, so she could.
She'd wrap it all the way around.
Yeah, she'd be incredible at that.
Yeah.
Secondly, the other reason why I left this in is because she talked about having a baby and not being able to go to the show. And there was a big controversy in the international comedy world this week because Arch Barker, great American comic that's based in Australia, quite successful in Australia, had a situation where a woman brought her baby to over 15 show on the ticket, brought a newborn baby, and distracted the show. He joked about it. But then upon second distraction, Arge asked her to leave. As it turns out, at that time, she was breastfeeding. But the international media picked up the story because they were like, comedian kicks out breastfeeding woman from show. And it went very viral and got very controversial. And
that headline's harsh.
Yes. But what are the you can join in on this, Chris. What is the
I was waiting for a breastfeeding
topic.
Chris has
a lot of opinions on breastfeeding.
Well, so just so that we don't get caught up on the breastfeeding
part.
So the breastfeeding part is kind of not important because he could not see that she was breastfeeding. That had nothing to do with it. But that's how the international, because obviously we all know things
basically
go viral.
The baby was crying throughout the show and finally she was asked to leave. And as she was leaving, she was breastfeeding, but he couldn't see it. But she then was like, he kicked me out because I was breastfeeding.
Yes, but it got a lot of traction. Because it's annoying, right? You're a comedy fan, you have kids, and suddenly you can't go to shows, right? Well, then at the same time, you've got 1,000 people in a venue waiting to see a show, and there's one baby, and probably loads of people who had babies, who had to get babies, who had to deal with all that.
I do have to say, if there was not an age limit, then it's like, okay, then you guys should have put an age limit if you don't want babies there.
Yes.
But it sounds like there was an age limit. I mean, in America, it's a lot of 21 and up or 18 and up. You don't even let teenagers come in. And I've actually tried to sneak in my friend's kids because they'll be like, I want to come, but I can't bring my kids. And I'm like, just leave them in the green room. Like, I want you guys to come. So like, I've tried, but I mean,
Hannah's parenting skills are so good. It'd be like, just we'll lock the green room door.
There's snacks. Yeah. There's snacks in the green room.
You know what, actually? There must be. You know the way they have all the baby monitors, right? Mm-hmm. But now with all the technology, surely there's a baby monitor where you can just like have it in your AirPods. So the baby's in the green room, you're in the venue. If the AirPods kick off, you just excuse yourself.
Well, I know a lot of comics will travel with, like, not a lot, but some will have, like, a dog or, like, a little dog or puppy. And then when they go on stage, they leave the dog with, like, the openers in the green room.
Right, yes.
And it sometimes goes well and sometimes doesn't.
Yes.
Because depending on the dog's mood. It's been a problem in Brooklyn for a couple decades now where should babies be allowed in bars?
Oh, yeah. All the big controversy. I think that it should be clear which spaces are good and bad. Mm-hmm. And I think the issue for the pro-baby part of me says there should be more spaces where it's acceptable to bring your infant and whatever way they're behaving.
You should still be able to live your life.
I have done shows where it's okay, like afternoon new material shows where it's like, hey, bring your kid, no problem.
Yeah.
But I do think at a nighttime theater show, there's just certain theatrical etiquette. Like I just don't think that, like, if a baby was crying at a movie, right? Say you went to see Civil War right now, right? So I think it's a whatever rating it is. Mm-hmm. Say you went to Civil War and you think, my kid's going to nap through the movie. I'll take my kid in. Then the kid starts crying. I think you're going to just naturally get up, right? But I guess because stand-up comedy, this kind of the audience is kind of loud. Mm-hmm. I guess there's a feeling like maybe this is okay. But I mean, it really isn't.
I do have to say people, I'm not saying this woman in particular, but people do disrespect stand-up comedy.
Yes.
Like compared to other art forms. Where like if someone has a Broadway show, like everyone leaves them alone for like the hour before, they have an hour to decompress after. Like they never do two shows in one night. It would be a matinee. Like where stand-up comedy, it's just you performing for an hour and a half. And before shows, people are like trying to hang in the green. Like they don't treat it the same with the same like elevation.
Yes.
As other things. And I think maybe that's why that she's like, yeah, this guy's talking shit on stage. But I do have to say, they don't even let hecklers because jokes are about timing.
Yeah.
And jokes are actually really important, like hearing every sound of every word.
Yeah, it's distracting.
Because there's a nuance
to it. Listen, if a baby starts crying, everyone's going, why is this baby crying?
If I was her, I mean, I understand if my baby, I'm like, I know my baby's quiet, I'm going to sneak her in. But if I know that my baby's going to possibly be crying, I'd be embarrassed.
Yeah. Anyway, he asked her to leave. And when she was leaving, she said she was getting some abuse from the crowd. So the whole thing ended up being like kind of controversial. Arj was very upset. He's made numerous messages. But it was amazing how much of a topic it became. But I think the general consensus, in fairness, is there's no anger really towards the woman. But in general, that people are mad at the venue because it's like it's an over 15 show.
Yeah.
And like you just it's a situation
it
that shouldn't
have.
It put
them both in an awkward situation.
Exactly.
The venue should have put their foot down and said, I'm sorry, this is 15 and over. And then there should be more fun places for people to bring babies without being like a baby place.
I'm a fan of comedy nights that say comedy nights or comedy afternoons that say this is a place where you can bring your kid and if your kid is crying, it's not a big deal. But at least you can book a couple of comics and then that's like a vibe.
Yes.
Right?
But it's you know it's also a vibe? People wanting to be away from kids. Like people pay money.
Ooh, Hannah, that's strong. That's a strong and valid
people
take.
People pay money, a lot of money for kids. No, kid-free hotels, kid-free cruises, kid-free shows.
Yes.
So there's a reason.
Listen, over 15 stand-up comedy show is definitely a place where people expect to be kid-free.
I mean, I will literally go to
like
shows.
Like if your kid's first word is like pussy, then you know that you brought the kid to too much comedy.
It's about being depressed. You know they've been to too many stand-up comedy shows. But I do think a lot of the time, like at stand-up comedy shows, I'll joke, like who's happy, like, to leave their kids at home tonight. And it's a lot, the moms are just going nuts, having fun. So I don't think anyone did anything fucked up.
No.
I think what happened is people started to get like cancellation type hate, where I think this was a miscommunication by the venue and mishandled.
And also our dialer who dialed in, you know, she's expressing her frustration with the fact that she's had a kid and it does get in the way of doing the things that she likes. But at the end of the day, if she ever went to a show and the baby was crying, I think she could just reach over with her foot, grab the baby, and throw the baby out of the venue with her finger feet. You didn't get that straight away. I was like, Hannah,
that
hello?
Was very
reaction.
Funny. That was very funny. That was very funny.
No,
you know what? I was thinking about all the people who have to get babysitters for shows.
Yes.
And like how or they
it
have to get
suck.
A hotel and a babysitter.
When we have kids and we have more sympathy with the situation, sorry, if it ever happens, we have more sympathy with the situation, we are definitely going to put on afternoon, you can bring your kids shows so that we can have our kid on the stage.
You know, we should do like some competition where like you have to keep doing bits until a baby cries and then you have to leave. And,
oh, yeah.
And you see who gets the most jokes in before a baby cries.
Yeah, like an infant gong show.
Who can make the baby cry first, but through their bad jokes.
Imagine you get a babysitter though and then you go to a show and there's a crying baby at the show.
Oh yeah, well but you can be sure that because ours is very big in Australia.
Also in Australia, I'm not trying to assume, but I'm pretty sure people must have been drunk, so like they weren't on their best behavior in terms of like dealing with a baby heckler.
I get frustrated when I'm having my morning coffee and a baby's being too loud.
Yeah.
And there's no problem with bringing your baby, but I do get frustrated. Do you know what really frustrates me? I didn't want to turn this into a full episode. I hate the performing parent. Do you know who I'm talking about? The parent, like, you're in the coffee shop. It's a quiet enough coffee shop. And then the parent's like, no, we don't do that, Johnny. And it's like really loud. And then it's like, oh, you know, it's like, hey, you want to read? The boy went to the store. It's like, okay, fine.
You're louder than the kid that's on you.
Yeah, you're parent of the fucking year. Or they've just brought the kid from some like, you know, like young people's Broadway show. And they'll be like, and what did you think of Blobby Blobby's, Blobby Blobby's performance? Like, I didn't go to a fucking show till I was 18, right? Modern parenting is annoying.
Asking the kid to spell out everything they see in the store. I'm like, I get it. He's fucking a little gifted.
Yeah.
He's going to have issues when he's older because he's going to think he has to be the best at everything.
Exactly.
But I'm not going to get into that right now.
Yeah, your kid's not that special. Anyway.
But the thing is, like, you know when you hear a crying baby behind you on an airplane that you want to sleep, you get annoyed for a second and then you realize there was no other option.
Yes.
They have to fly.
Yeah.
But in something like a comedy show, you're like, literally, this was not an option. You guys aren't supposed to be here.
Yeah.
But I do love that they could have changed the whole perspective of the headline to be like, baby heckles comic so bad, has to get kicked out. Life's about perspective.
That's good. Let's go to another.
My random useless talent is that I can memorize the lyrics to pretty much any song after listening to it like two or three times. I've got all the words. It translates a little bit into being able to memorize like speeches and other things that I need to remember, but mostly it's just songs. And so now I have the lyrics to like 8 million different songs memorized. I can, you know, not have heard a song in 15 years and it'll play and I can remember all the words. So it's kind of fun. It's a good bar trick.
It's a very good
skill.
That's
really cool. You know, when you don't know a song and someone starts singing all the words, it seems so cool to me. I'm always like, whoa. they like know stuff.
Do you know when you think you know a song and then you realize that you've only ever sung it while the words are being sung, but without the support of the words, you really haven't a clue what you're singing?
Yeah, imagine if somebody just put a beat on and they like sing this song. Yeah.
There were a lot of big Sean Kingston songs, like "You're Way Too Beautiful," yeah. Girl, you know when you're doing dirt. I actually don't know what that part. Like, it was pretty simple, but like. You couldn't understand it because he had that accent and we all would just be singing random stuff. And then recently, some singers, they're all about noises and not like actually saying the words. Like Taylor Swift is very like, these are the words I'm singing. Where like Tate McRae is like, like that's literally the song and everyone's like, what is she saying? So I tried to Google it and then sometimes it ruins the song for you because you're like, oh, I thought we were talking about something else.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many songs. I always sing Jump Around. And to this day, even though I've Googled it 100 times, I always forget exactly what they're saying when it goes, pack it up, pack it in, let me begin. I came to win, battle me, that's a sin. I won't, this bit, I always just say, I won't tear a sock up, punk you better back up. But it's actually not that. And every time I Google it, I go, oh yeah, of course, that's what it is. And then I forget.
I do have to say, there are some songs that I think all of us from like 10, 15 years ago will remember like when Usher played the Super Bowl and Ludacris came out to sing his, what is it? His, what do they call it?
What?
Verse.
His verse. Thank you, Chris. No, Thank you, Chris. I didn't need an attitude about what? Like it was the craziest Hannah, thing I
how
ever
many
had.
Times do you have to describe? It's not attitude. I'm just from Queens.
That's okay, that's, so
he's a move, bitch.
Move, bitch.
Get out the way. That's not
no,
Ludacris.
No, so he's, he goes, so Ludacris's verse, immediately, like they joked, like all the millennials, including the moms, just like started rapping it, and all the kids were like, "Mom, what are you doing?" But you don't forget those. Also, like D12, my band, I know every single word, but I literally can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. So, but that's my own stuff.
There's a few famous songs that I sang. Well, not just me, but a lot of people sang incorrectly. An '80s one, you know, like "Blinded by the Light." I always thought it was
wake
revved
up,
revved up like a douche. I always thought it was a douche. Revved up like a douche, you know. And then I found out what a douche was, and I was like, "Why is he saying revved up like a douche? Why is he saying revved up like a douche? You know, you're rolling in the night." And so anyway, it's revved up like a douche, which I believe is a car.
Oh, that's.
But
really
I always
funny.
Thought it was douche. But there's a couple of comics that do bits about song. Can you think of any off the top of your head that?
Wait, I just pulled up. From a Hollywood Reporter, the most commonly misheard lyrics in popular songs.
Okay, let's go. Let's hear them.
Well, NSYNC, it's gonna be May. We all know it's me, but they say it's gonna be May. So I think they're saying May, but they're not. Dancing Queens, people think they say feel the beat on the tangerine, but it's feel the beat on the tambourine. I knew that.
Oh yeah, I knew that one.
We built this city.
Yeah, on rock and roll. What do they think is the song? What?
Oh my God, this is stupid. They said people think they saying we built the city on sausage rolls. No one ever thought that. Yeah, this is stupid.
Are there any real ones? Do you have any that come to mind?
Not off the top of
it. Oh, really? Because I definitely had a couple other ones. I just can't think of them right now. I can't think of them right now, but it doesn't matter. We'll come back with a review on the episode of famously mispronounced lines.
here's one, the Lil Nas X song. I don't know who thought this though. The lyric is "Take my horse to the old town road." People thought that they were saying apparently "Take my horse to the hotel room," which is pretty on brand for Lil Nas.
Yeah,
X
that would have been.
I thought it was horse.
No, it's horse. Oh, okay. But "Take my horse to the old town road," not "Take my horse to the hotel room." Yeah. Is what
take
people
take my horse to the hotel room. Room.
Oh, that's a good one.
It fits.
That's good.
By the way, for example, the Metallica song that came up on the podcast, "Enter Sandman." there was some people we put that up as a clip, and some people had the audacity of saying this guy doesn't know "Enter Sandman," and then people were like, "I don't think you know "Enter Sandman" because I was singing the chorus, but I didn't know the words though. I was just like. So, I had Metallica fans being like, it's a pretty good impersonation, minus the words. Whereas some people only hear the beginning, you know, boom, 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 boom. So anyway, I got these idiots that only watch Virginia Tech videos trying to accuse
me. Triggered, man.
Yeah,
that's
they're
got
trying
triggered.
To accuse me. You know? The two things that trigger me on the internet now are people saying that I didn't know the Metallica song and that people think I'm ripping off Bill Burr. These are my two big triggers at the moment. I mean, I don't know why these people get that idea. Anyway, go ahead. Go to the next thing. It's brutal. It's brutal.
I need to hear this one.
Wait, can we put me rapping Lil Jon verse at the end of the episode?
What? Hey, let's go. Let's keep it simple. Let's keep it simple.
Yeah.
You know it, right?
Hi, Hannah. Hi, Des. My secret talent, it's pretty useful, actually, is that I have a sixth sense of when random couples that I don't even speak to in real life, I can sense when they have broken up, and then the Instagram deep dive commences, and I'm usually always right.
I knew
you'd love that one.
That is so good. That is so... I feel like there's definitely those kinds of people, like, some of my friends, I'll say something like, oh, you saw so-and-so's been acting weird. And they have no, like, they never have, they're just not looking for that kind of stuff. And then some friends who are like, have you noticed that so-and-so used to be wearing these kind of shoes and now they wear this kind of shoes?
Wow.
And it's just, like, different kinds of priorities that you're focusing on. But people do have, like, patterns. Like, you joke when someone starts posting, like, quotes that they're going through something. When a girl posts a bikini pic, she's single.
Yeah.
When a guy starts posting out with his friends.
Or when a guy starts doing the like, I'm intermittent fast.
When a guy starts intermittent fasting.
Yeah, you know, suddenly it's like, I'm trying to get in shape again.
Or when a guy announces like which city he's in. When he's like, oh yeah, I'm just in Texas today. But that's more like a stand-up comedy musician.
Yeah, but stand-up
thing.
Comedians do that all the time because they're like trying to sell tickets.
Yeah, but sometimes they do it because they're looking for DMs.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wouldn't know because that's not what female comedians do.
What are you doing when you're posting, hey, I'm in Kansas City?
I never say it.
You do sometimes.
I just will be like on stage. But like guys will like put a little like message on their Instagram like, hanging out in Ohio tonight. What's going on? Like
oh,
that kind of stuff.
Yes. But you know, it's the only thing that's lacking from this message is like... famous times that she was correct. I want the tea on why she thought it and also who.
Well, she should work for like Page Six or one of these.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's a lot of like if something gets unfollowed. But a lot of the time people think that when someone, if someone is posting someone a lot and then they stop, that's pretty obvious.
Yes. What about, that's like the ESPN, you know, these sports guys be like, oh, we're reviewing. These were my top 10 picks. Which ones did I get right? She can have that. Like, I had the top 10 breakup picks for the year. I was 7 out of 10 this year.
That is funny. That is funny. I mean, or I thought she was going to say, I know when couples are going to break up.
I think that's what she was saying.
No, she's saying she can tell when they've broken up but haven't told anyone.
Oh, right. Oh, I took it as maybe both, actually, but either way.
She probably is skilled at that, too. You do have that friend that's good at that, and you're like, I'm not going to ask them about my relationship because
well,
I don't know what it is.
I don't pay any attention. I'm just not a huge fan of your relationship, like, overly published on social media anyway.
I feel like we got over that hump because at first, because we weren't posting, people were really like, they're not together.
Yes. Well, we famously had a Dumois post saying that we'd been broken up because we hadn't been posting.
It was my favorite because
Hannah was at the
we got
the
home from
Verizon
a ski
store.
Trip. We got home from a ski trip and I had to go to a Verizon store, I guess, when we got back and I'm waiting in line and my phone starts blowing up. Like, did you and Des break up? And I'm like, did you just break up?
That's so fucked up.
I posted a blind to Dumois to break up with her.
But it's true.
I had Irish people going like, do you know what fucking Dumois is talking about you, man? The Irish gossip girls are very excited that I was in Dumois.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
But no, it is if you have like a certain way that you display your relationship. Like we literally could have a podcast and they're like, they're broken up.
I wonder if there's like a, you know, like some chart of like how much you post about your wedding versus how guaranteed it will be that you'll be divorced within 2 years.
Well, it is proven. And Paige and I have said this since day
one. Many times.
The longer the caption, the shorter the relationship.
But some people go hard on the wedding pictures where it just feels to me that the pictures were more important than the wedding.
I feel like people, depending on their parents and their family stuff, like they put more emphasis on it. But no one's really talked about what the right way to go about. Like some people, the whole rest of their life, they post their wedding photos.
Yes.
And like, I wish I loved something that much.
Yo.
I'm not talking about him. I just mean the concept.
The concept of the wedding.
Yeah. Like that day was so spectacular. Like next day I was stressed about something else.
Well, especially in the modern day where like everybody's getting divorced. It's like, why are we, you know, It's not as sacred as it once was. Not that we're diminishing.
Also, let's be honest. You didn't save yourself for him.
Oh, okay.
You didn't save yourself for him. What do we? You didn't. Your father didn't give.
You got very Italian Catholic.
Your father
very
didn't
quick
give your dowry to him.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's all calm down. But some people, it's like they look fucking amazing. They look gorgeous. They paid a lot of money for all these photos. Go off. I do like the.
I mean, the two cows that your father gave me have been great. They've come in.
I do, Daisy and Dot.
Yep.
I do think that. There is something nice of, like, you're following someone and then randomly they'll be like, hey, like, you know, 4 years ago I married this guy and here's a photo. And you're like, oh, my God, look how cute they were. Oh, I liked her. Like, that's fun. But people definitely go overboard.
A modern Brooklyn dowry would be like, this is a male and female French bulldog that you can that you can breed. You get 4,000 a head. 4,000 per head.
They go, this is an old, what's the thing that they play records on?
A phonograph? A
record player?
A record player.
This is old record player that doesn't really work.
Yeah,
you can put it as a display in your mid-century modern apartment in Park Slope.
With a couple of random albums. Scratched records that don't actually play.
Whenever I try to make a big improvement on my life, you guys, I always quit. So I love doing a little bit each day, a little small action, like starting to smile more at strangers, waking up a little bit earlier, getting a new skill. And that's why I'm obsessed with Seeds DS01 Daily Symbiotic that benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just 2 little capsules a day. Because I get very overwhelmed taking too many pills. I start feeling like I'm consuming too much and I'm like, is this even helping me? So just having to take the 2 Seed DS01 Daily Symbiotic makes my life so much easier. Taking something from my gut is really important, and I've definitely felt like I'm taking care of my body. You can't just ignore your stomach because it ruins your day. If it's always upset, I can't perform if I'm always bloated. A healthy gut benefits digestion, skin health, heart health, your immune system. And Seed's patented capsule and capsule design means fragile bacteria can survive the journey from shipping to your door. And this is good bacteria. So when it gets to your body, it gives it what it needs, all without synthetic or chemical coatings. And they have a legitimate scientific board that developed DS01, so you know it's a product you can trust. Trust your gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/burn, B-E-R-N, and use code 25BURN to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month at Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/burn, code 25BURN. Get started today. We've all been there trying to fit tons of clothes for a 3-day weekend. Why do I need 400 pairs of underwear? I always do it. And then you don't know which shoes. And this is why I'm obsessed with Base. Base was created by actress Shay Mitchell, who's that girl, to make sleek, affordable bags, luggage, and accessories designed to help you travel effortlessly while still staying fashionable. It has everything you want in a piece of luggage. 360 gliding wheels so you can speed around, a cushioned handle, a weight indicator so you know if you've overpacked or not, washable bags for dirty clothes, and tons of interior pockets to keep you organized. I always lose my deodorant or I lose my mascara or I can't find my hairbrush, and this has made my life so much easier. With Base, you can bring it all and keep it organized, and it comes in multiple sizes and colors, and they have over 30,000 five-star reviews for a reason. I love the bag because it has form and function and fashion to keep me carefree, cute, and have all my options because I never know what I'm going to be in the mood to wear on that day. Right now, Base is offering listeners 15% off your first purchase by visiting basetravel.com/burn. That's B-E-I-S travel.com/B-E-R-N for 15% off your first purchase. That's BEIS travel.com/burn. If I had to think of the times I personally smelled my worst, it was probably after tennis practice. Every now and then I'd have to call a car service. Yep, back in the day we had car services. The drivers would have to roll down the window because I think I was stinking up the car. So that was embarrassing, but I was working hard. I was sweating. I wish back then we had Lumi whole body deodorant. It helps you smell your best every day and all day. Everywhere. It's powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control. This is the real deal, from your pits to your feet and even your privates. Why are we just putting deodorant on our underarms? Like, that's literally the only place we smell from. Wrong! It was invented by an OBGYN, so she knows what she's doing, and it has earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people like me who love feeling confident from head to toe. If you're sweaty or smelly in your pits, underboobs, thigh folds, belly buttons, butt cracks, vulvas, and feet, this is for you. And it's baking soda free, paraben free, and pH balanced for safe use below the belt. And I love their scents, clean tangerine, lavender sage, or toasted coconut. I use toasted coconut because I like that sweet smell. And it really stays for a long time. You know when you put something on and then you literally never smell it again? Sometimes during the day, I'll be like, ooh, that smells nice. So new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code and link. Use code BERN at LumiDeodorant.com. That's LumiDeodorant.com. Lumi Starter Pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like mini body wash, deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code BERN, BERN. And if you combine 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals 40%. That's a lot off their starter pack. Use code BERN for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code BERN at LumiDeodorant.com. So I get really unhealthy when I'm on the road or when I'm being lazy and just ordering tons of takeout. And I realize that not only is healthy food great for every part of my life, but I also am enjoying, I'm starting to enjoy like picking some recipes, relaxing after a long day, cutting some stuff up, making food. Des makes it for me sometimes. And that's why I love Hungry Root. It's the easiest way to eat healthy. They send you fresh, high-quality groceries, simple recipes, and essential supplements. When I walk into a grocery store, I can get overwhelmed, or I have like way too much fun because I'm hungry and I just pick all the wrong stuff or stuff that's going to go bad or stuff that I literally don't need. If you take a fun, short quiz, Hungry Root gets to know your personal health goals, what you eat, what you prefer, and then they build a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week and give you delicious recipe recommendations to put those grocery to use. Literally holding my hand through adulthood, I'm obsessed. They have fresh produce, high quality meat, seafood, healthy snacks, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks, and more. Vitamins, supplements, literally everything you will need. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Burner Phone listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Go to Hungry Root, HungryRoot.com/burner, BERNER, to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's HungryRoot.com/burner. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Like, wow, how is it possible? I've been living like this for months. What a dark, scary winter. It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That is amazing. It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. The service is great, and you know what feels even better? The money that you're saving. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans and their unexpected overages. Mint Mobile's here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. It's easy and it comes with high-speed data, unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/burner, BERNER. That's mintmobile.com/burner. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/burner. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Let's shake it on. We put extra pressure on Chris. I told him to just pick it based on the headlines.
Chris is the DJ.
DJing tonight.
Let's go,
Chris.
DJ Chris.
I got you.
No
some
pressure,
music
man.
Right
DJ K H R I S.
Boom, 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 boom.
Hello, I love you guys. My special useless talent is that I can play a really good trumpet noise out of my mouth. I'll do it for you, obviously. Now. Ha 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 ha. obviously it's not that useless. But it's pretty special, and I guess I haven't gotten to use it that many times except for right now, hopefully getting it onto a massive podcast. I love you.
I love how she goes, actually, it's not that useless. Yeah,
especially if, like, somebody, like, slips and falls in front of you, you can, like, that was a
very good... whenever anyone enters the place.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait. I love how she laughed after, because she was like, that was actually pretty fucking good.
Yeah. Not to mention, she's like, I can't believe I'm doing this to fucking strangers on my phone.
I wonder how she realized, A, she could do that. B, who needs trumpets? I actually, you know, I played the trumpet when I was in fourth and fifth grade.
Wow.
Did you not know that about me?
I didn't.
I used to, not to make it about myself, but you had this little trumpet case to go to school in, and I it's like Brooklyn, so it was like crowded, so I would kept hitting people in the shin with this like big trumpet box because I was short, and my dad would be like, how many knees did you take out this morning? And then I'd get there and I thought it was easier because it was only three keys. Like, I chose it because I was lazy.
Yes.
And I wasn't a musician. I was playing sports. And I was like, give me the one with three keys.
Yeah, it's one of the hardest
Turns
ones.
Out it's the hardest one.
Because it's so hard to even make
everyone else is just blowing theirs. Yeah. I mean, the flute was obviously really hard, but with the trumpet, you literally have to spit everywhere. But you have to do that. And then you get.
And then you have to unleash the spit.
Oh my God. It would get so disgusting. Like, I could taste it right now. It was like your own spit. And it was cold and brassy. Yeah. It was only three keys to play like 400 different noises. So you had to be like a quarter down with this knuckle. And that. Yeah. It was. I never got good at it.
Well, you know, you could have just been able to do it with your mouth. It would have made life so much easier.
Yes. Also, I remember when I first started learning, I would go to my grandpa's and I'd show off to play and the dog would run up and then the dog would get so scared when I'd play it. Poor Meatball. He didn't deserve that. Rest in peace, Meatball.
I played the saxophone for a while.
You are such a saxophone player.
I didn't keep it up. The only problem, I love the saxophone.
All the outgoing boys picked the saxophone.
I played the saxophone.
All the guys with swag picked the saxophone.
Hell yeah.
My problem was that I just didn't have the focus, but also I hated the reed. The reed always gave me the feeling of chalkboard, nails on the chalkboard, because it was like dry and it would like rub off your teeth.
Was this pre or post Bill Clinton?
What? Mine was pre. It was before, because obviously Bill Clinton's a good saxophone.
I thought he was going to say dinosaurs.
It was before Bill Clinton. I wasn't inspired by Bill Clinton.
Were you inspired by Bill Clinton,
Chris? Yeah, I met him.
Oh,
you
cool.
You met Bill Clinton?
Yeah.
And you were like,
first day of a job at a hotel.
Internship convention?
Nah, that was a valet bellman job.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
Everybody that meets him says he's very charismatic.
Yeah.
He does work as a...
As a what?
As a bellman, right?
Oh, no, I worked as a porter in a hotel. And a doorman in an apartment building, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But it was in Chelsea. There was no valeting.
All right, we got another orifice instrument coming up.
Oh.
I've been waiting like 15 years for someone to ask me this exact question in an anonymous format. So first off, thank you. Second, I can queef on command. And to be honest, I don't even know if that's impressive. But whenever I've told anyone that, they look at me funny. And I think it can't be because that's an overshare. It must just be because they're so impressed, right?
She say queef.
She can queef on command.
Yeah, correct.
And by the way, I have to tell you that this came in a lot. There was a lot of queef on demand people. Queef on command.
Wait, I feel like...
I don't know how much demand comes, but definitely queef on command.
There probably is demand. I'm feeling inadequate right now. Because I'm pretty good with... I mean, I can't burp, but I'm pretty good with air.
Yeah, but I can fake burp. I like the breathing in fake burp. But queefing,
she must have to maneuver her body a little bit because you got to get air in.
Yeah. I don't know the mechanism of queefing on command. I can't speak on queefing. I really needed you here. I'm lacking all the essential ingredients for a good queef.
Okay, I'll say it. Basically, with our anatomy, you can fart. But then if you're sitting down, you could like let it come up and then it makes a sound because it comes up through the top. So it goes up through your pussy, the fart. Where with the dick, it blocks it.
Oh.
So ours can go all the up.
So you're saying that that you're like a fucking pipe organ? Is that what you're saying? That you're getting extra acoustics?
Yeah, so it could like go through the lips upward if you block it down. Oh, like I could be sitting right now and fart. And I can make it kind of go up.
And where does it go then?
It comes up through the pussy.
So it's doing like a U-turn. Is that what I'm... Okay,
all
right.
Does it change the sound?
Because it can't come out through the down because I'm sitting on a chair. So it'll come up and you'll feel the air go through your vagina and up through it.
It's like kind of interesting.
And where does it go then? Where does it go? Does it come out?
Yeah, it comes out. But it's weird because you feel the air through your vagina.
And is this,
hi, Mom.
Is this toxic air good or bad for your vagine?
There's no effect. No effect.
Interesting.
But it's just, you so guys have a block it. You're balls a pipe organ. To block it. So
men are trumpets and women are pipe organs.
This is what could happen. It can come up, but then be kind of sitting, and then you kind of move, and then it just releases through.
So you can store it. You can store it till you're close to an enemy. That's great.
It's just physics.
You're like a propane cylinder. You can compress the gas and then release it when necessary. That's pretty amazing.
I hope someone's listening be like, yeah, we could do that. We just found my new talent.
Or we're going to get numerous people who specialize in anatomy being like, Hannah is talking total nonsense.
I have a queef bit in my special that she's kind of proving wrong.
Which is you can't queef on demand.
Because I say, like, you can't queef alone and that it's the men's fault.
Right.
So right. I have to go back to drawing board.
Honestly, that's definitely has to be debunked because so many people message in to say they can queef on demand.
Well,
a lot of people.
Does it have anything to do with, you know, like in Thailand with the ping pong balls?
I don't know. As I said, I can't speak with any expertise on the queef.
It's different because with the ping pong balls, you could push it out. It's like a Kegel. But with queefing, Well, I need to do some research because I'm feeling like I'm missing out on something.
Okay.
But maybe the world didn't want me to have that skill because I would be too powerful.
Yeah.
And I would probably do it at inappropriate times.
Yeah. Well, they gave you the other skill, which is the most horrific farts ever created by man.
I farted so bad yesterday. You didn't react at all.
It's long COVID, bro.
He has long COVID. He can't. It saved our relationship. Like one came out where I was like, I don't think he's ever going to look at me the same. And you just sat there eating your ice cream. It's going in your mouth. It's going in your mouth. And I just go, Jesus, God, whoever's looking down on me, thank you. Butter literally was like coughing blood.
Okay, let's go.
Hey, Hannah and Des, love the pod. My secret or not so secret talent is that I know every single word to WAP. So it doesn't matter where we are, the second that song drops, I am dropping my WAP. Shit is getting wild. And yeah, I have no idea what I ate for breakfast, but you bet I know every single word to that song.
That's what I just said.
Love you guys.
You did just say that. I also want to say that I gave Chris control of picking, and they constantly have to do with vagina, Chris.
It's two in a row. It's two in a row, all right?
I love WAP 1 because I made me and Paige learn the WAP dance because I was like going around that COVID summer.
Oh, that's right.
And we got in trouble because it was like 10 p.m. and we were practicing the dance in the like summer house and we got yelled at because you have to like jump on the floor and your knees are like
shaking.
So people were like, what the fuck are you guys doing? We're trying to sleep. We're like, we're doing the WAP dance. We were not good at it at all and I'm not flexible enough for it. But also I will make you go on stage to the WAP song.
Yeah, we mentioned that only a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, so that's why it has a very special.
When WAP came out, I really thought it was incredible. Like when she says, swipe your nose like a credit card, I thought it was an incredible line.
That dangling thing back
back of my throat. I mean, come on.
Make it scream. Make it.
I thought it was just really good.
I don't clean, but I can tell you how I got this ring. That's me. Yeah. Follow me, drip down the side of me.
What is it? Back door, Mack truck, right up in this little garage.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. These are great lines.
I mean, we butchered all of it, but yes. But,
you know, I mean.
No, that was so. And also the fact that two, like, female rappers came together. Because they always try to pin them against each other. That was money, 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 money.
I mean, it's a classic song.
Also, like, wet ass pussy. Like, it's basically saying, like, big hard cock. And we never had an equivalent.
Yes.
And we were kind of like, yeah, this is my powerful
pussy. And it makes people uncomfortable. I have a routine about that.
I love that.
About talking about wetness. But anyway, let's not get too into it. You know, we've gone from queefing to wetness. It's a lot. It's a lot to take in.
Don't put your Catholic guilt onto me.
Macaroni in a pot.
Macaroni in a pot. That's some wet.
All right. Hannah's been dying to rap this whole episode.
I've been trying to ludicrous rap.
So, anyway.
Hi, Hannah and Des. My useless fact or talent, whatever the prompt was, is that I am so good at pogo sticking. I've never had to use it in the real world. but it's a fun party trick if there's a pogo stick.
See, that's what I mean when I said there's greatness everywhere. I love when someone's specifically good. Like, when someone's good at yo-yoing, I'm like, I have so much respect for you.
Yeah. Do you know the guy got on the elevator the other day in our building and, like, he was, I don't know, 18, 19? Mm-hmm. Got on. I had to actually hold it. It was closing. I held it. He got on. And I don't think he said thank you, but he immediately was yo-yoing in the elevator next to me.
It would come back.
And he was too old. He was too old to
not say sorry.
No, he was too old for me to be like, this isn't a little weird that, that you're yo-yoing next to me without, you know, like acknowledging me. Was he
showing off a little?
He was pretty good at it.
Yeah.
He was a good yo-yoer.
Yeah.
You know?
He was just
But as
trash.
I said, I'm not a bad beatboxer, but I wouldn't start I should have just started beatboxing at him.
Yeah, you guys could have had like a moment. You could have had a fucking skill off.
Yo-yoing is a good skill.
I do love when people have a specific skill because I'm like, oh, there's so many things I don't know about you. And like, it's like, someone's learned something on their own time that's unique.
Can we go back to the pogo stick?
Yeah.
Does it still exist? Do you know what a pogo stick is,
Chris?
Yeah,
I know what it is.
You probably get it on Amazon.
I was never good.
Well, this is the thing about pogo sticking. It's what are you doing with it?
What's the goal?
Yeah, like are you, oh, I'm going to pogo stick to work? Are you just like, is it a workout? Like there was never a real like purpose.
Yeah,
I
guess you really should have been counting. I guess counting would have been the best. Like the same way, what's the point of Kadima? You know?
Well, like, Kadima's that's fun on the beach chilling. When you can't pogo on the beach.
No, but you can pogo on your own in the playground. We live in a cement jungle. You can
so
pogo.
What, you're gonna go walk all the way over with this big pogo stick?
No, the goal is how many jumps can I do before I fall off?
I know, but I'm saying it's just not ideal, the process of pogoing. Like you have to walk around with this huge pogo stick to go pogo.
I don't think there's a lot of like traveling with your pogo stick.
Well, that's why I'm saying I think that's why it didn't catch on. It's not easy. We're agreeing, babe.
No, but I think it did. Is pogo stick not one of the
It doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't exist anymore, and it was never a thing.
I asked the question. It never got established.
I thought you were asking a hypothetical question.
No, because I was asking for the health and safety part, because I feel like a lot of those unsafe toys that we had when we were kids are not in existence anymore.
Yeah, because they're not.
But Chris was looking it up.
This is the best argument you guys have had, by the way. The pogo stick argument is the best.
He's asking a rhetorical question when he goes, do people still use pogo sticks? So I start explaining it.
I didn't know you were so confident that pogo sticks still exist.
I'm so confident that pogo sticking is not a popular thing.
Oh, you can be sure that there's some fucking vintage shop in Brooklyn that's selling pogo sticks by the dozen.
It's vintage.
Oh my God, the Pogo Society of America is going to attack us, man.
And this podcast is sponsored by Pogos.
I was terrible at pogo stick when I was a kid. I just could not, I couldn't get more than like three.
I respect all skills except for Ultimate Frisbee.
Did you pogo stick when you were a kid?
No.
Like you didn't pogo stick outside
your
house?
I mean, I probably tried it. It was like,
you know why you never pogo stick? Because in your mind, for some reason, you had it that I have to travel with this thing first.
Too much admin.
Well, so what's the word?
All that I see here is that there is a website called All Pogo, and it's just like press releases of anytime somebody mentions a pogo stick.
Okay. Well, I know where we're getting a mention.
I do have to say they have to hire pickleball PR because there's not a lot going on when you start.
Well, because we don't have kids, you know. So I'm not like. So all I know is that like you get all these Gen X memes about like things that we used when we were kids. And it's always the merry-go-round that you could spin yourself that was like, you could make go extremely fast, but then kids would be like, you know, whipping off.
Yeah.
did you have those when they were, or were they already gone by the time you were a kid?
No, I've seen them.
The ones with the full speed. Like,
yeah,
they were dangerous.
The thing with pogo sticks is I remember them not being made very well, where they were like squeaky.
Squeaky.
And metally.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, it didn't make a nice sound, and I just remember being like, not that fun. And then you'd have to practice, and I was like, I already don't like the smell, I don't like the vibes, I don't like the energy it's giving. I did recently look up a bunch of toys that like have been banned, and I don't know if they're like permanently banned, but like there were so many, like even the Easy Bake Oven, like kids were just starting fires. Like who thought you should give an Easy Bake Oven to a kid? That's child labor, like making the kids cook at like 4 years old.
Lawn darts was the big controversy of my youth, because whether it was true or an urban myth, that somebody got killed.
No, it's metal points.
Yeah.
Like, and then there was this thing called this Barbie fairy that you put on and you pull this string and it like flies, but it's like a pretty big, hard plastic thing. So it would just hit things in the house and it was violent. Yeah. I remember Tickle Me Elmo was a problem.
Was Tickle Me Elmo a problem?
Google it. Tickle Me Elmo, I think
like catching fire.
Because they were like, they talk or something, and I think someone's hair got stuck in
the In the pull string?
No, I think like in the mouth or something. There's real problems with Tickle Me Elmo.
Wow, Tickle Me Elmo and pogo sticks. Who knew it could be so controversial?
Also, one note about Ultimate Frisbee. I made a side comment earlier. I do really respect Frisbee because I can't do it. I'm very bad at Frisbee. But the whole idea of making it into a sport got a little weird.
Yeah, I know. Have you played Ultimate Frisbee?
No, but I had a lot of friends who played it in high school, and it was like, it's pretty funny because you can't like touch anyone, so you're just like standing there, like, let me throw the frisbee, man.
You know, it's actually more fun than you think.
It probably is fun.
I didn't play a lot, but when I played, I was like, actually,
okay,
this is
fine.
A fun,
I take it back. It's I take a fun it back. Sport. I just thought it'd be funny to make a joke.
It's like
about
netball.
Ultimate
you
frisbee.
Know, netball's like the Australian basketball, and like when you have the ball, you can't move.
Chris, what are you finding?
They're saying that was a myth and it wasn't recalled, but there were also things that were like, it was really popular. So there was like a craze over Tickle Me Elmo, right. Which caused
more misinformation about toys from Hanna-Barbera. The Tickle Me Elmo Club and the Pogo Club are coming for Hannah at the end of this.
Someone said Elmo made death threats to toddlers. of course, Elmo's threat was he'd cut anyone who crossed him with a knife and he would eat their organs.
Oh, come on.
Wait, I don't know what that's coming from. No, that's definitely not real. That was from a bit or something.
Strike that from the record.
Strike that from the record. We get sued by Toys R Us.
Yeah. Elmo defamation.
Yeah. All right, let's take a few more. We're on a roll here.
Hi, Hannah and Des. Love the show. My secret useless talent I discovered while working as a camp counselor. Obviously, you spend a lot of time in the lake. And let's just say that I have some personal flotation devices. two of them, to be exact, strapped to the front of my body. Basically, I have big tits. So if I go as straight as a plank in the lake or the pool or whatever body of water, I am just buoyant and I just float. Yeah, I don't need to worry about drowning. Maybe I do, but it's not at the forefront of my mind because I got, you know, tickled bitties. Okay, bye.
Chris, why do you keep picking the ones about girls?
It didn't say tiggled bitties. It said natural floater.
It's funny because when she said it, I first envisioned her face down in the water, and I was like, "Is that helpful?"
So if you're in a co-ed camp, your fear shouldn't be drowning. It should be if you're floating in the water with your titties floating in the water. You need to worry about men. You need to worry about horrible, horny boys. By the way, just a fun fact about life, which a lot of people I'm surprised don't know this, but like. When you're breathing in, you're more buoyant than when you breathe out. A lot of people don't know that, but
it was a thing where a lot of people were like, "I can float, I can't float, I can float."
Yeah, you can. First of all, you just have to relax, and then like when you breathe out, you should breathe in as fast as possible. You will remain more buoyant. A lot of people don't know that, but also because she's talking about a lake at a camp, you should know that lakes are less buoyant than salt water.
How do you know all this stuff?
Water safety, man. I was a Boy Scout. I got a water safety badge, but also I just like swimming. So what do you want me to do? You know?
Did you say you have a badge?
I had a merit badge. I was a Boy Scout.
Babe, I was the age of like, we don't.
You weren't a Girl Scout.
No.
Yeah, but if you were a Girl Scout, you would have had merit badges.
Do you think less of me because I don't have a merit badge?
No, I think I never judge people on whether they were in the Girl Scouts or not.
Where's your merit badge now?
I don't know where my merit badges are.
Disrespectful to the Boy Scout community.
This is great. My useless secret talent is that in high school, I was a wrestler. So, and I actually qualified provincially. I'm from Canada. And it was really fun because I would like have fun and start wrestling with boys on dates. And then I would be like, "Oh, what? You can't get out of this half Nelson? Oh, sorry. Did I pin you and you can't get up?" And I'm like 100 pounds soaking wet. So that's my secret talent that shocks people.
I love how she said sorry. I always think it's like a bit when they're doing it.
Yeah, it's not real.
But they also will say sorry like, for no reason. They'll be like, "Hello, sorry." They're so nice in Canada.
Must be pretty freaky though if you're a boy like thinking that you're just like joking around roughhousing and then suddenly you can't get out of this like wrestling hold.
I'm obsessed with that for her.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with that. For, yeah, there was a weird time where guys like didn't really know what to how to flirt or like what to do in bed, and they'd like start wrestling with you because like that's what they did with their brothers, and you'd be like, "Do you want to kiss me?" Or like, "What's happening?"
Well, she had the skill. I knew you'd like that. I knew you'd appreciate her emasculating skills.
Well, I do think what I've learned, like because my brother did MMA or whatever, there's a lot of sometimes they want you to get into a certain move that you think is an advantage and then they get you. So it's kind of like chess. Ooh. So I've learned to appreciate the art of fighting in a different way. It's not just, you know, violence.
Let's take a couple more.
Hi, Hannah. Hi, Dez. Big fan of the pod and giggler. My useless talent, which I think Hannah can relate to, is I can do the worm. I know she loves to pull us out on stage, and I love to pull it out about 7 drinks deep at a wedding in a dress. So, yeah.
Yes. Love y'all. The best thing about doing the worm is when you are in a dress, when you're wearing heels, when you're in a place where people would not assume you do the worm, people lose their minds.
Yes.
Whatever. If the floor is sticky, it's pretty,
a mistake.
It's pretty gross. The rest of your night, you have like gum stuck on your tit. I do have to say, I don't actually do the worm correctly. I do it backwards because no one ever taught me. I think one day I just like did it drunk and everyone like freaked out. So I just kept doing it. But I don't actually do it with the right technique. So
officially, officially, apparently, to do the worm correctly, you have to move forwards.
Yeah, but like what I'm doing something. So
yeah,
like,
I think it's
I'm doing a backwards worm.
Yeah, and you're not going into any breakdancing competitions. I mean, it's not a big deal.
What if I want to do?
Yeah, but it is, you know, it's for, we've talked about it before, but it's at weddings or at events, for some reason, people always create the circle.
Well,
We spoke ill of the circle, yeah. But in the circle, doing the worm.
I'd rather do the worm than like awkwardly do some like movements for like a minute. Like, I don't have any, like, really good dance moves besides shaking my ass.
Yeah. When I was younger, I fancied my dance moves. At a circle that was about serious dancing, I would hit the middle of the circle with some moves.
Wow.
But these days...
When did you first get confident enough to do that?
Didn't we talk about this recently? We had teenage disco. You know,
break danced?
I was never a great break dancer.
Why?
I don't know. I wasn't good at breakdancing.
Your childhood wasn't difficult enough?
I wasn't a good breakdancer. What am I doing? I was, when breakdancing became a thing, I was old enough to think breakdancing was cool. And of course I tried.
So what moves did you do?
Oh, I was, the late 80s, early 90s, I was good with the kid and play moves. Rock bass and DJ Easy Rock.
It's that thing to make the thing
Yeah,
go
exactly.
Right.
That era. I was good at like the Running Man and hip hop dancing of that time.
Oh, the Running Man.
Great at the Running Man.
See, my age, that was a joke.
Yeah, by the time it got to yours, it was a joke. Yeah.
Is that funny?
The Running Man was, but I was peak running. Kid and Play, really. I think Kid and Play brought the Running Man to the masses.
Is that a song you're saying, Kid and Play?
Kid and Play were an incredible hip hop band of the late 80s who don't get enough credit for how good their music was. You know, hola, hola, eh, hola, hola, eh, row, 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 we're kidding, playing out. I mean, look that song up. Such a great beat.
You love talking about the 80s.
No, but the beat was so good. Kid and Play was so good. And then they had House Party, the movie House Party, which was a huge hit. But now one of them is a Christian rapper and one of them is a comedian, but he doesn't do comedy that much. Yeah, one of them is a Christian rapper. I give my praise to the Lord. You know, that type of stuff. Read out a couple that we didn't do. We'll pick a final one.
Can we do stub?
Actually, you know what? We should. And this is actually like, this has like a deeper meaning. Go for it.
Hi, Hannah. Hi, Dez. My useless secret talent is that I was born without my right hand and forearm, and I can open up beer bottles with my stub. It is quite the party trick.
I love the fact that she embraces her disability. Yeah. And, you know, she's having fun with it. And I thought that was really cool, actually.
No, that's amazing. And I wonder, like...
I hope she's not offended that I titled it stuff. No, but I think it's
fine. I think she called it stuff.
Yeah, she did. She has a great sense of humor about it. It's not ideal.
Wait, she's probably so popular.
Yeah. She's like at all the parties.
She's at every party. She's like, everyone get in line. You start charging people. But, I mean, you'd be surprised how... great that is.
Anatomy wise, I don't quite get.
I do have to say when people.
How she can open a bottle.
When people don't have certain limbs, like the way the human body and the human mind will like compensate is always like fascinating. I mean, there's a guy on TikTok that I've been following for a while who's amazing, who really doesn't have arms or legs, and he does his makeup every video, and it's like amazing.
Really?
And that's how he does it, how he does it.
Yeah. But he's selfish doing makeup, where she's opening.
She's helping people. she's giving
keeping
back.
She's keeping the party going, yeah, man. And she's saving furniture, because if she wasn't opening bottles, somebody would be like knocking it off
or
the dining room
teeth.
Table or breaking their teeth. You know, she should be getting a grant from the American Dental Association for all the teeth that she's saving.
Wow.
Yeah, I like that she sent that in.
That's so amazing.
I mean, it's a pretty good episode.
That was amazing.
It's good to have Chris back.
We're back, baby.
Well, the dialers are incredibly talented. And you know what? They're not useless, because we used them for this podcast.
David brought me water mid-pod, just
so
you know.
Dude, he told me about it. I heard you guys are trying to replace me. And he's like, Chris, watch out.
And we got here today, and there wasn't even any water. There was only one frozen bottle, which has been slowly defrosting next to me. So, you know, energy-wise, Chris, you brought it. But service-wise, David is definitely preferable.
Well, we just dropped Giggly Squad shows, so check that out in my bio. I have a couple stand-up shows left. Jacksonville, Dublin, Bethlehem, and London town.
Yeah, Hannah's added Dublin show has some tickets left.
Mm-hmm.
And then go on my website for all my shows. Chicago, Nashville, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Point Pleasant, New Jersey, Sacramento, San Francisco, although those links aren't up yet. Seattle link isn't up yet. And Toronto, the link is up. And I'm at the Kilkenny Catlash Comedy Festival in Ireland the weekend after Hannah does her shows. But I don't actually know what tickets are left for that. Anyway, anything to plug, Chris?
All these wonderful shows that I work on.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling in. We'll talk to you later, little dialers. We love you. Bye.